This audio is brought to you by Muslim Central. Please consider donating to help cover our running costs and future projects by visiting www.muslimcentral.com/donate.
Alhamdulillah, wassalatu wassalamu ala rasulillah. Wa ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wahdahu لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدًا عبده ورسوله اللهم صلي وسلم وبارك على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه وأزواجه أمهات المؤمنين وعلى من اتبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين. My dear respected brothers, assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. I would like to check a verse in Surah Al-Baqarah, which verse number 213. وفيها قول الله تعالى. That is chapter 2, verse 213, Surah Al-Baqarah. If you have your phone handy, maybe you can look at it as well. It's a very interesting verse. قول الله تعالى كان الناس أمة واحدة. I'm really going to touch on the first statement. Mankind used to be one single family. One single family. Togetherness. No division. Now, read what Abdullah ibn Abbas radiyallahu anhuma said in explaining this verse. And why Abdullah ibn Abbas, ya ikhwa, barakallahu fikum, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam, da'a lahu an yu'allimahu Allah at-ta'wil. Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam invoked Allah to teach him the interpretation of the Quran. Du'a'u al-Nabi lahu barakah. Fayaqul ibn Abbas, Abdullah ibn Abbas says, كان الناس أمة واحدة. Mankind used to be one single family على التوحيد. أبن توحيد. So what united them? What kept them together? توحيد. So the moment they went astray from that أصل, from that origin, they started what? Splitting, dividing. And hence, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent the prophets and the messengers in order to bring people back to Tawheed. Then we could say, الأصل هو التوحيد. By default, Tawheed is the origin. وفي حديث عياض بن حمار المجاشعي رضي الله عنه والحديث أخرجه الإمام مسلم قول الله تعالى الله سبحانه وتعالى حديث قدسي يعني and mixed with the prophetic words قول الله تعالى الله said إني خلقت عبادي كلهم حنفاء. I created you حنفاء. حنفاء يعني أبن توحيد. ثم جاءتهم الشياطين فاجتالتهم. Then the devils came and made them go astray. ويبدو هذا also from the way that we were born. What did the prophet say about the newborn? كل مولود, every newborn is born in what? فطرة, اللي هي الإسلام. Every newborn is born in Islam. Then who switches that fitra, who influences that fitra to go away from Tawheed, the parents and whoever the parents allow to come across their children, the school, the environment, and so forth. Again, the point I'm trying to make here, and I'm going around it, الأصل إيه؟ التوحيد. If you want to unite, again, you have to go back where? التوحيد. Because it's very sad, يا إخوة, when we hear people, you know, criticizing those who speak of توحيد. They say you're dividing the Ummah. Don't talk about that stuff that divide us. Well, listen, if we do not unite upon توحيد, what will we unite on? I could unite with you to build a bridge right here. There's nothing wrong with that. Even if you're a mushrik, I unite with non-Muslims to, you know, to take care of the welfare of humanity, feed the hunger, for the hungry. There is nothing wrong with that. But the unity which originates from hubbullah, mahabbatullah, لها الولاء, that you love Allah, has to be upon tawheed. How can you unite with someone who associates others in worship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Don't you love Allah? Allah called this dhulm. Allah called this transgression against me. He called it dhulm. Ya bunayya la tushrik billah inna ash-shirka la dhulmun 'azim. It's a great form of transgression that you commit. Of course, against yourself, Allah doesn't need us. طيب. Abdullah ibn Abbas mentioned a very interesting statement which really describes how shirk emerged on earth. Everybody upon tawheed. Now, how shirk emerged on earth? Abdullah ibn Abbas said, بين آدم والأثر في صحيح البخاري. The author is authentic في صحيح الإمام البخاري من كلام عبد الله بن عباس. بين آدم ونوح 10 قرون. Between Adam and Noah عليه السلام 10 generations. I'd rather go with generations because they lived longer. If you say, you know, 10 centuries, you're talking about 1,000 years only. And we know some of them would live for 1,000 years. But what is meant here, really 10 generations. كلهم على التوحيد. They were upon توحيد. What happened? The first type of shirk, which is the most dangerous type, which is shirk المحبة. The shirk in the area of المحبة. That you love someone equal or above Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that is why I said the whole issue has to do with what? With loving Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Shirkul mahabba, that you end up loving a created being more than your love for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That will take you to commit shirk. Because you will always place the created being above Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And for your information, this is the type of shirk our neighbors, the Christians, have fallen to. Huwa shirkul mahabba. They love Jesus. They love him dearly. You don't know that. You need to understand that. For them, he's a loved character. Because they talk about him all the time. They hardly mention the Father. I'm just using the language here. They hardly mention the Father. All they talk about is Jesus, 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 Jesus. La. And they abandon who? They abandon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Although Jesus never informed them to do that. But what they have fallen to also is in shirk al-mahabba. That they love Jesus more than their love for Allah. And that is why it's very hard for them, unless someone Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guides. Abdullah ibn Abbas says that there were 10 centuries, 10 generations between Adam and Noah. Then there were 5 very righteous individuals who lived right before sending Nabiullah Nuh alayhi salatu wassalam, waddan, suwa'an, yaghuth, ya'uq, wa nasra. Those are five individuals, by the way. Those are five people. But they used to be so righteous, so pious. The people loved them. They loved them dearly. And people, ya ikhwa, even if they are not Muslims, they love the righteous people. They love them because even if they don't believe, because they recognize the high quality, the good quality, the mannerism, the character. What did the kuffar admire most about Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam? What was it? His what? His character. His character. Can you imagine at one stage Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu anhu wanted to leave Mecca and migrate to Abyssinia like everyone else? A man by the name of Ibn al-Dighinna, a kafir, a non-Muslim. He saw him about to get on a ship and travel to Abyssinia or to Yemen somewhere. So he asked him, where are you going? He said, I'm leaving town, man. I don't like you guys. You guys are not giving us a hard time. Imagine this kafir tells Abu Bakr, Ya Abu Bakr, مثلك لا يخرج ولا يخرج. Someone with your noble character should not leave Mecca, nor he should be expelled. Come and I'll protect you. Imagine that. Come and I'll protect you. فالشاهد, people love the righteous people. That's obvious, is known. But now again, the problem is that you allow this love to supersede your love for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I mean, there are certain things Allah mentioned that we love them inherently, intuition, بالفطرة. Allah mentioned 8. Look at this. قُلْ إِنْ كَانَ آبَاؤُكُمْ, your fathers, أَبْنَاؤُكُمْ, your children, إِخْوَانُكُمْ, your brothers, أَزْوَاجُكُمْ, your spouses, عَشِيرَتُكُمْ, your nationalism, your clan, your tribe, your family. أموال اقترفتموها, wealth, money. تجارة تخشون كسادها, trade, business that you're afraid is gonna lose. ودwillings ومساكن ترضونها. Look at these 8. If those 8 are more beloved in your heart to you than Allah and his messenger and striving in his cause, then you're in trouble. Fatarabbas. The verse is in Surah At-Tawbah. This is Quran. Fatarabbasu hatta ya'ti Allahu bi amri. That means Allah will use these things that you love more than him to test you with it. And that's the thing again. The whole concept is the concept of what? Of love. Well, there is a type of love which they call what? Shirkul mahabba. That you end up loving your sheikh, loving your imam, loving your sheikh tariqa, your imam, whoever it is, more than your love for the messenger of Allah. More than your love for Allah. More than the love for the sunnah. Then you give that individual precedence over the truth, over the haqq. Because for you, he is the haqq. And that's the danger of this. ولذلك, one of the scholars, a Yemeni scholar from the 500 after Hijrah, he made a very profound statement and he said, إِنَّ مِنْ أَوْسَعِ أَوْدِيَةِ الْبَاطِلِ الْغُلُوُّ فِي الْأَفَاضِلِ. One of the widest gateways to misguidance, that you exaggerate the status of people. That is why you're not supposed to praise yourself, nor you're supposed to praise others in Islam. You know that, right? The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam heard someone praising another person in front of him. He said, قَدْ قَطَعْتَ عُنُقَهُ. Don't do that. Don't help him against his self, his nafs. You don't want to do that. Like when people praise you, say, Astaghfirullah, ya akhi. Allah knows best who is the righteous and who is the pious. You shouldn't accept that. You shouldn't accept that. Between Adam and Noah, I go back again to the verse, 10 centuries, كلهم على التوحيد, until those five people, and in some of the wording that they are offspring of one another, they died. The people missed them. We missed them. They are no longer living around us. Huh? Shaitan utilized that. He said, this is my chance now to implant shirk on earth. He appeared to them actually in a form. In the past, they say that Shaitan used to appear in a form of a human. He said, you guys miss them. You miss Waddan, Wasuwa'an, Wayaguth, Wayaguqa, Wanasra. Why don't you go and spend some time next to their graves? شوف. أول شرك نبع في الأرض, شرك القبور. The first type of shirk emerged in earth, the grave. The graves. The shirk of the grave, the graveyards. ولذلك رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم, imagine جابر بن عبد الله رضي الله عنهما says, 3 days before his death, I heard him saying this, لعن الله اليهود والنصارى. May Allah curse those, curse them. They have taken the graves of their prophets. اتخذوا قبور أنبيائهم وصالحيهم مساجد. They turned the graves of the righteous people and their prophets into a places of worship. ألا إني أنهاكم عن ذلك. Don't do this to my grave. Don't do this to my grave. Don't use my grave as a place for shirk. Don't do that. فالشيطان said to them, listen, you guys miss Waddan, Wasuwa'an, Wayaguth, Wayaguqa. Their graves are right there. Go and spend some time there. Go and sit around their graves. Spend some time so you have their company. Of course, something that you need to pay attention to, that when you go and spend time in the vicinity of the cemetery, you're going to need a bathroom. You're going to need someone to give you water. You're going to need someone to give you food. If you like them and you want to spend time there, you're probably going to overnight too. An entire industry emerges. Some of you may assume that the whole issue has to do with Iblah. It's an industry, business that established around it. And people bring in qurbani. Huh? A whole people benefiting. The most dangerous thing when the religion becomes a means of living. That you use the religion to make a living. This is the worst thing. يَبِيعُ دِينَهُ بِعَرَضٍ مِنَ الدُّنْيَا. He's willing to sell his religion, his faith, his tawheed for some fleeting gains. Something that is going to go away anyways. But the people started going and spending time around the grave. Then Shaitan came. By the way, Shaitan is very easy going. And he takes his time. He let those do this for one generation, the entire generation. So he came to the next generation. You guys are busier than your parents. You don't have a lot of time at your hand. What about this? Why didn't you make statue of those people and place them in the street? And by the way, make these statues while they are bowing down, while they are praying, while they're giving sadaqah. So those images would remind you of what? Of the righteousness and piety. So you do like them. That's the next generation. The next generation did that. Look, he came to the third generation. And he said, why don't you collect these idols in one place? So that you have what? A sanctuary for them. Because they are on the street. Those are righteous people. So they ended up with what? A place of worship. Allah sent a prophet, one of the strong-willed prophets. His name is Nuh, alayhi salatu wasalam. He spent 950 years to walk them out of this? No. Look at the report. وَقَالُوا لَا تَذَرُنَّ آلِهَتَكُمْ. We're not going to leave our gods. وَلَا تَذَرُنَّ وَدًّا وَلَا سُوَاعًا وَلَا يَغُوثَ وَيَعُوقَ وَنَسْرًا. This is the final report, Prophet Nuh. 950 years of da'wah. Why? Mahabbah, the love. That you end up loving someone above. And that's the first type of shirk. Shirk al-mahabbah. Because when you love someone more than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you're going to end up elevating them. And that is why Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam warned us. What did he say? لا تطروني كما أطرت النصارى ابن مريم. Don't you dare excessively praise me like the Christians did to who? To Jesus. But say about me what? عبدالله ورسوله. I'm عبدالله ورسوله. That's all. Don't even make any attempt. Even one day, a companion, he said to him, إن شاء الله وشئت. If Allah wills and you. The Prophet rebuked him. أجعلتني لله ندا. Don't say that. Are you setting me a rival with Allah? You know, he made a mistake in the letter. Letter. When you say, if Allah wills and you, it's in Arabic, and places the one before it and the one after it, what? Equal. Now say, إن شاء الله ثم, then you. If Allah wills, then you. Then you're making the will of the created comes under the will of who? Of the creator. Or just speak, speech. طبعاً, not only you will end up loving them more than that, you actually end up obeying them. A Christian who later became a Muslim, the son of Hatim al-Ta'i, his name is Adi radiallahu anhu. He came to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and he was wearing that huge cross. You know how Christians sometimes they want to display their Christianity, they wear that big cross, especially the Orthodox of them. So he came to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is giving him da'wah. He's talking to him about Tawheed. What is this? You know. He heard someone reciting the verse in Surah At-Tawbah, which says what? اتخذوا أحبارهم ورهبانهم أربابا من دون الله والمسيح ابن مريم. The Christians have and the Jews have taken their prophets and their rabbis and priests as gods beside Allah and المسيح. Adi right away objected. He said, Ya Rasulullah, by Allah, we never worship them. Look at the Prophet, what he said. أَلَا يُحِلُّونَ لَهُمْ مَا حَرَّمَ اللَّهِ وَيُحَرِّمُونَ عَلَيْهِمْ مَا أَحَلَّ اللَّهِ فَتِلْكَ عِبَادَتُهُمْ. Don't they make lawful for them the unlawful? And don't they make unlawful the lawful? This is how you worship them. This is another type of shirk, shirk al-ta'a, the shirk of obedience, that you obey them although you know that they have no authority to legislate. Because who has the authority to legislate for us? Who? أَلَا لَهُ الْخَلْقُ وَالْأَمْرُ. The one who created. Now listen, the one who creates has the right to say what to do with his creation. Apple tells me what to do with this thing. They give you a manual. You do this, yes. You know, many of us don't read it anyways, but that's how you find it. Toyota, when you go buy Toyota, do you get Honda manual or Toyota manual? Well, you get Tesla. What do you get of manual? Tesla? My son says Tesla. Also. I like that. I like Tesla. The important thing is, Allah is the one who created. He has the right what to legislate. Look at this. قُلْ أَرَأَيْتُمْ مَا أَنْزَلَ اللَّهُ لَكُمْ مِنْ رِزْقٍ فَجَعَلْتُمْ مِنْهُ حَرَامًا وَحَلَالًا. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala brought down provision for you and he said it's halal for you. Then you go, this is haram, this is halal. You can't eat that, you cannot eat it. قُلْ أَاللَّهُ أَذِنَ لَكُمْ. Did Allah give you permission to do that? أَمْ عَلَى اللَّهِ تَفْتَرُونَ. Likewise, يعني, you know, for years, the Catholic Church stood firm in the face of the moral decline in the world, especially when it came to, you know, the LGBTQXYZ, huh? Like a year ago or something, the Pope came out. By all of a sudden, they are part of the family. What changed? You see that? And the people obey them. People obey them. Okay. Well, listen, likewise, in the Muslim world, we have these heads of tariqah, these heads of, they legislate stuff, adhkar and durood and ashya. Man. أَمْ لَهُمْ شُرَكَاءُ شَرَعُوا لَهُمْ مِنَ الدِّينِ مَا لَمْ يَأْذَنْ بِهِ اللَّهِ. Do they have associates who legislate for them rituals that Allah never gave them permission to? That's exactly. But again, يا إخوة, I want you to pay attention to this. الأصل, why all of this? محبة. When you love someone, you fall for everything. And the most devastating, in my opinion, is shirk al-du'a, that you actually call upon them. Not while they are alive. Huh? After their death. You go to their graves. Imagine someone who is living. Look at the house martyrs. Someone who is living. He goes to someone who is dead beneath the ground. Give me. Help me. That you're better than him. He's contained down there. What's going on? إن تدعوهم, Allah said what? إن تدعوهم لا يسمعوا دعاءكم. When you invoke them, they don't hear you. By the way, the subject, whether the dead hear the living in the service of earth, is not settled, is not black and white. You understand that? There is actually a strong view that they don't hear us unless or except in certain cases. Case number one, right after burial, hadith al-Bara' ibn Azib, hadith Amr ibn al-As, that after you bury the deceased, sit there if you're a family member, in order what? They find company. So that's the time. Also, they hear the drumming of the feet of those who buried them. They could answer the salam. That's, other than that, we don't know. And by the way, we cannot use analogy in order to say they hear us if, because they hear us at these certain times, that means they hear us all the time. No. القياس في الغيبيات ممنوع. Using analogy, you guys know, you're familiar with analogy, the concept of analogy, that you join a ruling to, basically you say, well, if they hear us after burial, that means they hear us all the time. No, 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 no. You must have an evidence that they hear us all the time. So this case is exclusive to that. That's it. They don't even hear you. You're not sure if they hear you or not. Of course, when we address these issues with them, with the people who commit that type of shirk. Because again, we want to unite. You see, we're addressing it not because we're having issues with them. Because هَذِيَ دَعْوَةُ الرُّسُلِ. This is the call of the messengers, of the prophets. Never a messenger, a prophet, left Tawheed until it's settled. Even if it's, Nuh, by the way, never called the people to Sharia. He called them to leave Waddan, Suwa'an, Tawheed. Let's finish Tawheed first. Let's settle Tawheed first. Because anything that you do on the basis of no Tawheed is what? Forget it. It's not accepted. Well, like some of the scholars, although I hope this is not an invitation to sin, they say a sin with Tawheed is much better than a good deed without Tawheed. A sin with Tawheed, there is a chance for it to be what? forgiven. But a good deed without tawheed is not accepted. That's how dangerous this is. ولذلك بعض العلماء يقولون لا يضرك ذنب مع التوحيد. Don't bother because of your sins as long as you have tawheed. Because you have a chance with Allah. ورد هذا في الحديث. Allah says what? يا ابن آدم, O son of Adam, if you come to me on the day of judgment with what? Earth filled with sins, but with one restriction, one qaid. What? لا تشرك بي. You have a chance. وذلك يا إخوة أهل السنة والجماعة, we never rule a person who engulfed or indulged totally in major sins that he's going to go to hell. You can't do that. He cannot do that as long as he says what? لا إله إلا الله محمد رسول الله. As long as he does that, because he has a chance. قال تعالى, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, إن الله لا يغفر أن يشرك به ويغفر ما دون ذلك لمن يشاء. Allah will never forgive that you come on the day of judgment with shirk, but he can forgive anything else. When we speak about this, trying to ask these people to give up invoking those individuals, they say what? What is their means? What is their answer here? We do not worship them, but we use them as means to get to Allah. Isn't that what they say? بيسموها إيه باللغة العربية؟ They call it what in Arabic? وسيلة. وسيلة. طيب. Intermediary between you and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is exactly the type of the shirk the Arabs engaged in. For your information, al-Arabi, the one the Quran was revealed on the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam while he's alive, he never worshipped these. He actually used them as what? Intermediary to who? ما نعبدهم. They said with ما نعبدهم. We do not worship اللات والعزة ومنات. These are the idols, names of the idols. إلا ليقربونا إلى الله زلفة. They bring us closer to who? The same concept. The same concept. The same approach. They say we don't worship them. ما نعبدهم. We do not worship them. But they bring us closer to who? Likewise, they say, we don't worship the people buried in the grave, the saint, الغوث الأعظم, الجيلاني, التجاني, الرفاعي, whoever it is. And by the way, these individuals could be righteous, by the way, could be pious. يعني if you read their biography, they were very pious and righteous, like Jesus. Did Jesus command the people to do this to him? أأنت, in the day of judgment, Allah is going to ask him, أأنت قلت للناس اتخذوني وأمي إلهين؟ قال سبحانه. ما يكون لي أن أقول ما ليس لي بحق. Did you command the people to take you and your mother as two gods beside me? سبحانك. Never did. Never happened. Never happened. ما قلت لهم إلا ما أمرتني به. I only informed them what you commanded me to inform them. أن يعبدوا الله. Worship Allah. My Lord and your Lord. But people made up these things. We do not worship them except they bring us closer to Allah سبحانه وتعالى. طبعا. هذا الكلام مردود. And sometimes, يا إخوة, the funny thing is they use some logical reasons that is absurd. One of the famous things that you would read is when you want to get to the president, let's say the president of the United States, do you go straight to the president? Or you go through the senator and the MP, you guys call them MP here, something like that? Huh? Someone, what? Who's better, the president or Allah? look at this. Allah is better, of course. But you see what Allah knows. We do not need that. You do not need what? You do not need it. Any time that you want to call upon Allah. وَإِذَا سَأَلَكَ عِبَادِي عَنِّي فَإِنِّي قَرِيبٌ. If my slave ask you, O Muhammad, about me, let them know that I'm near to them. Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, one day he was riding with his companions and they would make dua with a loud voice or tasbih with a loud voice. They were traveling and they would raise, Allahu Akbar, Subhanallah. أربعوا، take it easy، أربعوا على أنفسكم، take it easy، slow down، فإنكم لا تدعون أصما ولا غائبا. You're not calling upon a God who's absent nor he's deaf. Lower your voice. Allah hears you. He's closer to you than your jugular vein. He said that to them. But you do not need to do that. You do not need someone to come in between you and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, period, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is there. طيب. Also, we cannot cancel out the wasila from Islam, by the way. There is a wasila. There are wasail in Islam. Allah said in the Quran, in a chapter called Al-Ma'idah, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا اتَّقُوا اللَّهَ وَابْتَغُوا إِلَيْهِ الْوَسِيلَ. Oh Allah, be conscious. And they use that verse, by the way, as an evidence to support their approach. Be conscious of Allah and seek the means to get to Him. طيب, what are these means? They are identified. Four means between you and Allah. Four wasila between you and Allah. Number one, His names and attributes. وَلِلَّهِ الْأَسْمَاءُ الْحُسْنَى فَادْعُوهُ بِهَا. To Allah belongs the most beautiful names. Call upon Allah using these names. Ya Rahman, arhamni. You go to Ya Tijani. Ya Rahman, arhamni. Ya Ikhwa, when it comes to dua in particular, Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Ad-du'a'u huwa al-ibadah. The essence of worship can be depicted, can be illustrated, can be seen when you make dua. Why? Because that's when you break, when you show that you're humble, when you show that you're needing Allah. You see, there are other acts of worship. You could perform them, by the way, but you don't display that. Sometimes you see people pray, Allahu Akbar. Alhamdulillah. No, what? Although the salah should what? Should bring you what? What is the best position in salah? The closest you can be. Why? The most honorable. You know, when you walk like that, that becomes the highest point. You bless it where? And for the sujood to be valid, this and this has to what? Why? Humility, humbleness. Brothers, by the way, I perform Hajj every year. Don't people speak like that sometimes? Allah doesn't like that. One of our righteous predecessors said, رب معصية أورثت ذلا وانكسارا خيرا من طاعة أورثت عزا واستكبارا. Sometimes a sin that breaks you, makes you humble, is much better than a good deed that makes you what? Arrogant. Because how Satan got into that status, by the way. By the way, some of you, you know, I'm sure you know that Satan was a good guy at the beginning, right? He was righteous. Satan was righteous. Satan was the best of the jinn. That's why Allah elevated him, subhanah. Allah said, come with the angels. You're very special. But subhanallah, that obedience and that caused him to be what? I'm the special one. No one is like me. That's very dangerous. Why dua? Because when you raise your hand like this, Ya Rab, when you ask Allah to give you, that means you know that you're poor. When you ask Allah to strengthen you, you know that you're weak. When you ask Allah to teach you, you know that you're ignorant without Him. Right? It's you admit. ولذلك سبحان الله ولا تكونوا كالذين نسوا الله. Don't be like those who forgot who Allah is, His names and attributes, and they ended up what? Forgetting themselves, assuming that they are in control, they are powerful. Shahidur, the important thing, why dua is a very sensitive issue here, that you go and, Ya Rifa'i, Ya Rifa'i, and subhanAllah, around these graves, by the way, you see them doing things that you don't see them in the masjid. In the masjid, he prays, but you know, Christ, this should be to who? Allah. This is exclusive to Allah. إِذَا سَأَلْتَ, if you ask, ask who? Ask Allah. وَإِذَا اسْتَعَنْتَ فَاسْتَعَنْ بِاللَّهِ هَكَذَا. This is exclusive to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You have no right to give it to someone else. And you're giving it to someone who is dead. You give it to someone who is dead. There are four means. Number one, what? I'm going to quiz you on this one. I'm not going to leave without you memorizing those four means. Names and attributes. So you call upon Allah using the name, and it makes a big difference when you know the meanings of the name. What does it mean, this name? And by the way, pay attention here. You don't have to request something with the names. You can actually praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala just using the names and attributes. I mean, you don't have to name what? Haja, yani, a certain thing. You don't have to say Apple 16, Ya Rab. You don't have to say that. You can actually just call upon Allah using the names to praise Him. And Allah knows what you need. في كتاب التوحيد يا إخوة, there is the book of Tawheed, صحيح الإمام البخاري. There is a very interesting hadith. The Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم called it دعاء الكرب, the دعاء of distress. You know, when you're distressed, you run out of means, no one out there to help you, what should you say? What is the دعاء? لا إله إلا الله العظيم الحليم, لا إله إلا الله رب العرش العظيم, لا إله إلا الله رب السماوات ورب الأرض ورب العرش الكريم. The dua is over. What did you ask for? What? You praised Allah with the most beautiful names that He loves to be praised with. وفي حديث أبي سعيد عند الإمام الترمذي بسند حسنه, موسى عليه الصلاة والسلام one day asked Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to teach him something that he can use to invoke Allah. What did Allah say to him? Say what? You know the hadith, right? Say what? Ya Musa, oh Musa, say لا إله إلا الله. Say لا إله إلا الله. Allah said, Ya Rabb, everyone says لا إله إلا الله. I want something special. I want something different. Say لا إله إلا الله. I want something. لا إله إلا وعزتي وجلالي, by my might and glory of the seventh heavens and earth, in one pan of the scale, لا إله إلا الله, in the other pan, لمالت بهن لا إله إلا الله. You know the dua regarding Arafah, right? The day of Arafah. What is the dua regarding the day of Arafah? The best of the days in the year is Yom Arafah. The best of the dua is the dua done in the day of Arafah. And the best dua me and the prophets before me made, what is the dua of the day of Arafah? لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له له الملك وله الحمد وهو خلاص. That's the dua. ثناء. Listen, you don't think Allah doesn't know your need? Allah knows what you're needing. All what you have to do is you praise Him and He will give you. Sometimes actually we ask for the wrong things. Ya Rab, rid Ferrari, Ya Rab, rid Ferrari, Ya Rab, rid Ferrari, Ya Rab. Boo, in the highway, Ferrari out. Khalas, done. That's Allah knows what you. وشوف الدعاء يونس. What did Yunus say in the belly of the whale? What did he say? لا إله إلا أنت سبحانك إني كنت من الظالمين. شوف, هذا هو بيسمى دعاء الثناء. The first means between you and Allah is His names. Allah has 99 names. If you, of course more than that, but out of them 99 names, if you actually one of the ways to ahsaha, the meaning of ahsaha, that you call upon him using them. That can be your way to Jannah. قال صلى الله عليه وسلم حديث أبي هريرة إن لله 99 اسما. Allah has 99 names, 100 minus 1. من أحصاها دخل الجنة. Becomes a means for you to Jannah. So you leave this and you go to someone who is buried, who probably need your help, need you to make dua for him. So this is the first means to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Also you can use his attributes. Like dua al-istikhara. You know, when we want to make a choice, huh? What is the dua? Allahumma astakhiruka bi'ilmik. So this is the attribute of knowledge. Astaqdiruka biqudratik. As'aluka min fadlika al-azim. Fa'innaka ta'lam wala a'lam, taqdir wala aqdir. Fa'innaka taqdir wala aqdir, ta'lam wala ta'lam, wa anta allamul ghuyub. هذا هو أن الإنسان هذه الأسماء والصفات. رب العالمين سمى نفسه بأسماء. الله named him self, and Allah loves to be praised with these names. طيب, what is the second وسيلة? We said four. Are you ready to take the second? We're going to finish with that, inshallah, with those four, right? What is the second? Your righteous deeds. Do righteous deeds. Do righteous deeds. What makes a deed righteous? Two conditions. Sincerity and adherence. That you do the act for Allah, not for showing off, not to gain some worldly things, not to gain fame, not for Allah. And if it is a ritualistic act, you do it in accordance with the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Salah, sallu kama ra'aytumuni أصلي. وضوء, من توضأ نحو وضوئي هذا. حج, خذوا عني مناسككم. قال صلى الله عليه وسلم, the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم said, من عمل عملا ليس عليه أمرنا فهو رد. Anytime that you introduce an act of worship into this religion that I have never introduced you, it will be rejected. You're wasting your time, wasting your energy. ما ينفع. فالعمل الصالح, العمل الصالح. You know the story of the three individuals who found themselves stranded in a cave. Hadith Ibn Umar, you're aware of that hadith, right? The three individuals who were traveling. Each one of them came with what? Righteous deeds. The first one, he cited his dutiful to his parents. The second one cited his abstaining from immorality with his cousin. Female cousin. And the third one, honest man, honest businessman. He refused to take away the wage of someone who worked for him, and he instead he actually invested for him. توسلوا لله. ما هو وسيلة هو لا؟ مش دي وسيلة؟ ربنا آمنا بما أنزلت. We believe in what we revealed. هذا. واتبعنا الرسول. And we follow your message. فَاكْتُبْنَا مَعَ الشَّاهِدِينَ. Count us among them. هذه وسيلة. أهو. The آيات in سورة towards the end of سورة آل عمران. رَبَّنَا إِنَّنَا سَمِعْنَا مُنَادِيًا يُنَادِي لِلْإِيمَانِ أَنْ آمِنُوا بِرَبِّكُمْ فَآمَنَّا. رَبَّنَا فَاغْفِرْ لَنَا ذُنُوبَنَا وَكَفِّرْ عَنَّا سيئاتنا. You're using the wasila. The wasila what? Your iman and your adherence. Wasila. You want a wasila? That's a wasila. That's a legal wasila. But this other one where you take a qurbani somewhere to someone who is buried and you go cry over a grave, la, has nothing to do with the wasila. So this is the second. Is what? Your righteous deeds. What is the third? Huh? Your condition, your poverty, your sickness, your need, your disparity, your depression. What did Ayyub alayhi salam say? وأيوب إذ نادى ربه أني مسني الضر وأنت أرحم الراحمين. يا رب أمسك يا رب أمسك يا رب. تتوسل إلى الله. موسى عليه السلام when he was in Midian homeless run away escaping the Pharaoh when he went beneath the tree what did he say? قال ربي فسقى لهما ثم تولى إلى الظل فقال ربي إني لما أنزلت إلي من خير فقير. This is again another way. يا رب أمسك يا رب. Cure me. I'm poor يا رب. I'm looking for a righteous wife يا رب. Give me one. That condition. The last is the supplication of a living human that you think he's righteous. Because again, remember, nobody knows who's the righteous and who's not. Nobody knows that. إِنَّ أَكْرَمَكُمْ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ أَتْقَاكُمْ. What is التقوى? The Prophet did like this. التقوى. Now who knows what's in here? Nobody. Allah knows best who's the most righteous in this gathering. Allah knows that. I don't know. You don't know. Someone that you assume that he is good. ولذلك سبحان الله تجد you will find out that sometimes يعني وإن كان الأثر في سنده ضعف it's يعني the chain is weakened that one time الرسول asked عمر to make دعاء for him. طيب the prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم asked عمر بن الخطاب to wait every year the season of Hajj and go and look for a man his name is what who comes from Yemen Uwais Uwais al-Qarni Umar. The prophet said if there is a prophet after me it would be who Umar shaitan but he's asking him to go what some man who is not even a prophet he's not even a I'm sorry a companion is not even a companion. He will come from Yemen to perform Hajj, go and ask him to make dua to forgive, Allah forgives you. Every year Umar would go and look for the man until he found him. أنت لا تدري. Some people have some status with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. قال صلى الله عليه وسلم رب أشعث أغبر ذو طمرين مدفوع بالأبواب لو أقسم على الله لا أبر. You may find someone who is belittled. People look down upon him. But this person can take oath on Allah and Allah will fulfill his oath. That's a status in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Again, but this person has to be alive. He cannot be dead. During the time of Umar ibn al-Khattab, the Muslims suffered severe drought. A year they called Aam al-Ramada. Muslims needed rain. They were in Medina. What is the grave of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم? Why didn't he go to the grave? No. Abbas, alive. You make the dua, Abbas, living. Not someone who's dead. إخوة الدين بين واضح. توحيد جلي. توحيد is crystal. Crystal. There is no ambiguity about it. Straightforward. But that other stuff out there that we hear and we see is out of this world. It's complicated. Wallahi ni'ma. One of the boundaries that Allah guides you to tawheed. You know when I entered the masjid and I saw the name, I can't speak about anything else but tawheed. You know, I love tawheed. That's my actually specialty. And I have a couple of books written. One of them is called Know Your Lord. And the other one called Worship Your Lord. And they are available on my website, PDF for free. And you can actually download them. You will find most of that stuff there, inshallah. فجزاكم الله خيرا. I thought maybe I can share this message with you. Maybe if you have questions. They told me that we should allow some time for question and answer. I'm here for you, inshallah. Otherwise, I'm good to go, right? So, do we have any questions? Yes, please. There are three masajid based on the hadith were allowed to travel to. The Prophet he said, لا تشد الرحال إلا لثلاث. You're allowed to leave England and travel to these three places with the intention of worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala there. The Masjid al-Haram, and the salah there is multiplied 100,000. المسجد النبوي مسجد النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم the Masjid of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم 1,000 times and the third one is المسجد الأقصى يعني the most authentic يعني after a long research 250 the multiplication of the المسجد الأقصى the increase يعني now we don't have to visit the grave of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم we don't have to but the grave happened to be there. Now, why do we visit the grave of the Prophet ﷺ or of the companions, رضوانullahi عليهم, or any dead person? What is the wisdom behind us visiting the grave? قال صلى الله عليه وسلم, the Prophet ﷺ says, I have banned you before from visiting the graves. كنت قد نهيتكم عن زيارة القبور ألا فزوروها. Now I want you to visit it. Why? فَإِنَّهَا تُذَكِّرُكُمْ بِالْمَوْتِ It will remind you with death. In general, in principle, I go to the grave in order to do what? To remember death. Because I could make dua for my father, who is buried, all the way in Egypt, here. Do I have to be next to the grave to make dua for him? That's an issue that... Oh Allah, this is my father here. As if Allah doesn't know who's your father, where is he buried? Allah knows that. You can make dua for the deceased in your bedroom. You don't have to go to the cemetery to make dua for them. No, unheard of. Or the thing that they say, Fatiha. There is no such a thing called Fatiha. You don't go there. You go there, Assalamu alaykum dara qawm al-muslimin. أنتم السابقون وإنا إن شاء الله بكم لاحقون نسأل الله لكم العفو هذا والدعاء خلاص السنة بس then you sit and reflect man this man used to eat with me I used to play with him سبحان الله he died he's no longer in this world it's going to be my turn soon ما هو هذا هو you go and reflect upon that ما هو you go and see someone who used to be living with you and he's no longer in this world and he can't come back either That's an admonition. هكذا. So when we go to these places, whether it is a prophet, whether it is a sahabi, that's the essence. But I'm not going there in order to invoke that individual or praise them at all. If this is the intention, this doesn't harm your tawheed. But if you're there because you want to touch tabarruku, touch the grave of the sahabi and all that, that's a shirk, 100%. And this is what the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam banned us from doing. He said, do not turn my grave into what? A place of worship. Don't do that. And that is why, you know, although we have a lot of critiques for the Saudi, but they're still, you know, alhamdulillah, you go there and people remind you. I mean, can you imagine having this cemetery of the Shuhada in Kufa? You know the Uhud site? Can you imagine having this in the Kufa? See the amount of shirk. Kufa, يعني the shirk. You can imagine the amount of shirk that will build around it. But subhanAllah, you go there, people warn you. You can't do that. Look, this is the dua right there. That's what you should do, move on. That's هذا هو مقام التوحيد. This is how shaitan what? Comes like he did to the people of Nuh. Now. There is a question mark regarding whether the deceased receives the reward of the Quran recited on his behalf or not. Again, it's not something that is settled. And whoever assumed that the reward reaches, they based it on what we call again analogy. How? They said, listen, if you can make dua for them, dua is an act of worship. You can make dua for the deceased, can't you? You can pay sadaqah on their behalf, can't you? That's sadaqah is an act of worship, right? What else can you do? If they missed mandatory fasting, you could actually make up these days on their behalf. And they qualified. They missed and they qualified to make it up and they died before making it up. What else can they do? Hajj and Umrah. Provided that you performed what? So all of these are acts of worship. So those people who said the Quran is an act of worship. Yeah, but this is an analogy. What is analogy? You must have a text that the reward of the Quran gets to the deceased. You can't use analogy in ibadah. You can use analogy in ghaib. You cannot say, Ali ibn Abi Talib radiallahu anhu has a very profound statement. What did he say? If this religion based on analogy, based on intellect and reasoning, the wiping in the bottom of the socks would make more sense than what? Why do we put the right on the left in salah, not the left on the right? Why? Well, for you to produce analogy, qiyas, there must be what? A reason. There must be a wisdom. Now you have no clue about the wisdom, why we do this in the salah. Yes, when there is business transaction, there is. You know, I tell you, drugs is haram. Any form of drugs is haram. Why? Because of analogy. Because what drugs do? Make the mind absent. Anything that makes the mind absent becomes a drug, even if it is not named literally in the revelation. You're getting that? There is no evidence for this. Well, listen. You know, at the end of the day, I think the people are just trying to not to upset the societal norms, the social order. This is ancestor inheritance. They call it what? Sunnatul Aba. This is something that they inherited for years, been practiced for years. For them to leave it is what is being mean to your parents, to your culture. The whole thing has to do with that. But if you truly want to benefit the deceased, you should do what benefits the diseased. Well, listen, where is this deceased at? Where is he? In another world. Do you have access to this world? Do you know what's happening to him now? Do you know what kind of help he needs? You don't. So the only one who can really guide you in bringing a benefit to him is who? The one who knows both worlds. Allah, alimul ghaybi wa shahada. Not you making some stuff to make you happy. Do you want to make yourself happy and your culture happy? That's it. And the deceased, you don't care. Rasulullah said, when the son of Adam dies, انقطع عمله إلا من ثلاث. He does not receive any more reward except what? Huh? صدقة جارية ولد صالح يدعو له عمل ينتفع به أو علم ينتفع به. Those are three. There are other things. Make hajj on his behalf. Pay صدقة on his behalf. Make dua for him. You want to benefit the deceased or you want to make your parents happy and you want to make the one who giving you a scene happy.
If it, you see, you have, it has to come to that. Yeah, yeah, it's, listen, الشيطان even loves that. في حديث في مسند أحمد, a companion was not common to many of us. Maybe some of you hear his name for the first time. His name is Sabra ibn Abi al-Fakih. He narrated this hadith. He said, إِنَّ الشَّيْطَانَ قَعَدَ لِبْنِ آدَمَ بِأَطْرُقِ. Shaitan sits in any way you're trying to do something good. Any way. Whether he prevents you completely or whether he distracts you from delivering a quality act. He's not going to leave you alone. Look at this. قَعَدَ لَهُ فِي طَرِيقِ الْإِسْلَامِ. The Prophet chose the first route, the first path, the first salata, the first road that you want to become a Muslim. Whether you want to leave Christianity, Judaism, atheism, and you become a Muslim, or whether you're following heretical Islam, cultural Islam, Islam that is mixed with culture, and you want to follow the Sunnah, either, yeah, that can apply to a Muslim or a non-Muslim. Look what Shaitan does. أتسلم. Are you going to do that? وتذر دينك ودين أبيك وأباء أبيك. And you leave the way of your fathers. Well, listen, the majority of us, alhamdulillah, love our parents. We love them. So there is a love for the parents in our hearts. Shaitan bank on this. Okay, let me use that love what? My way. Don't you love your parents? What is the first objection all the prophets faced when they came to their people? إِنَّا وَجَدْنَا أَبَاءَنَا عَلَىٰ أُمَّةِ وَإِنَّا عَلَىٰ أَثَرِهِمْ مُهْتَدُونَ. We found our parents doing this, and we're not going to leave it. شوف الشيطان, you know, transcend this to the human. Try to envision the scene when Abu Talib was dying. Abu Talib was dying. The Prophet is sitting in one side of the bed. Who was sitting on the other side of the bed? Reminding him with what? The same thing. Reminding him with the same thing. Ya Aba Talib, atarghabu an mil, shuf, an millati Abdul Muttalib. That's shaitan. Ma shaitan inspires Abu Jahl. Ma the same approach, the same ideology here. Fa hada al mas'ala mas'alati yani. But also that teaches you also that, you know, you gotta take it easy with those people. Yani don't approach them what? Because, you know, you have to what? You know, step by step, gradually. You can't change them day and night. You can't. It's just impossible. Just every day. And one of the greatest things that you stick to your way, even if you're outnumbered, even if you're few, even if you're a handful, you stick to your way. You will send the message. Yeah, but he's not teaching Quran for money. He's getting reward for getting a wage for the time that he spends. Yeah, that's how the scholars, you know. So, you know, I'm not getting a wage for teaching Quran, but I'm getting a wage for my time. Because that time equals money. Yeah, the intention has to, yes, the intention has to be pure. Yeah. But I really meant, yani, the context I was talking about, that, you know, that you're willing to, you know, sell and buy, you know, in the religion. Like something Allah made haram. I don't know about England here, but subhanAllah, the majority of the liquor stores in America are Muslims. The majority of the liquor stores in America are Muslims. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give you a chance, give you money. That's, I really meant that. I didn't mean, you know. Yeah, I meant that you actually, when we have, you know, the drugs now in America, subhanAllah, marijuana and stuff like that is legal. And guess who rushes to get these shops going, selling marijuana to the youth and Muslims? They want to make money. They want to be rich. At the expense of what? When the Prophet says, when Allah makes something haram, then it's haram to sell and buy in it. إِذَا حَرَّمَ اللَّهُ شَيْئًا حَرَّمَ ثَمَنَهُ. That's really what I was hitting. Sure, absolutely. Yeah, yeah. We have sisters? MashaAllah, may Allah reward you. Hadir, I'll do inshallah. Well, there is. You can make dua. I mean, you can send your salam. Salamu alayka ya Rasulallah. What is written out there? Salamu alaykum dara qawmin. You can. But there is no dua to the Prophet. You're not invoking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala through the Prophet. Yeah. That's absolutely an act of shirk. Although the scholars say shirk bid'ah yani. لوجاه النبي يعني. They say by the status of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم. You could say by my believing in the Messenger of Allah, I call upon you Allah. But this doesn't have to happen in front of his grave. Yeah. I mean, you can send salam from it. I understand, yeah. You can send your salam without having to send it through somebody. I mean, Allahumma salli ala Sayyidina Muhammad. Allahumma salli wa sallim ala Nabiyina Muhammad. Right there is an angel who will take it to the Prophet in a timely manner, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But you don't have to send it to, it doesn't have to be there. I think that's where the issue is. You see, that's where we get mixed up, you know. Nah. Barakallahu feekum. Tafaddal, tafaddal. أحسن الله إليك. Well, I started the whole lecture with the Quran. Now that's the Quran and me. Everything comes out from the Quran. What did I start the lecture with? So I mean, what was the verse? You were not here? Verse number 2, كان الناس. I started the lecture with that. And how many verses of the Quran did I recite in my lecture? طيب. How many? ما هو هذا هو. ما where are we going to get the knowledge from? ما هو هذا هو. We don't receive revelation. What a human. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I. By the way, my specialty actually is tafsir. يعني. Yeah. I actually have. You know, I taught interesting book that I just authored called Roadmap to Al-Baqarah wa Al-Imran in the Green Lane Masjid, and the people enjoyed it. If you want to get it, they are available, all these books, in my website, Ikhwa, for free. Yani. You don't have to. I'm not selling books here. Naam, tafaddal. Say? Yeah. No, yeah, I mean, one of them, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, if you, you know, I always like to, quite frankly, to let Allah choose for me. Also, there are some people, poverty could lead them actually to kufr. You know, when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam seeked refuge with Allah from poverty, what did he pair with it? وَأَعُوذُ بِكَ مِنَ الْكُفْرِ وَالْفَقْرِ. That means some people, poverty may send them to disbelief because they begin questioning why. You know, so Some people, poverty is good for them. Allah says, وَلَوْ بَسَطَ اللَّهُ الرِّزْقَ لِعِبَادِهِ لَبَغَوْا فِي الْأَرْضِ. If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would bestow upon people provision and abundance the way that they want, that will lead them astray. إِنَّ الْإِنسَانَ لَيَطْغَى أَرَّآهُ اسْتَغْنَى. The human normally would transgress when he sees himself of no need to Allah. يعني according to him, we all need Allah, but he sees himself rich and wealthy. Yes, there are people. Yeah, that's the test. Yeah. I would say based on your condition. يعني if you can handle poverty and you're good with it, you're going to enter Jannah 500 years before the rich Muslim. You know that, right? There is a hadith about that, right? Oh, the poor Muslim will enter Jannah half a day before the rich Muslim. You want to know why? Because the rich Muslim is going to have to stand and answer, how did you earn that dollar? Where did you spend it? How did you earn that pound? Where did you spend it? But the other one, what? Ready to go. And actually the majority of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, I looked into Jannah and I found out that the majority of the dwellers of Jannah are the poor, not the rich. وذاك ابن القيم famous, of course we know ابن القيم, right? He wrote a very interesting book. The entire book is centered around which is better, the poor who is patient or the rich who is grateful, or which is more difficult, someone is poor and patient or someone is rich and grateful? Which is more difficult? Actually, the rich. Yeah. Because the poor, listen, what are you going to do? Jump up and down? Huh? But the rich has what? Has the means to what? Has the money. I mean, with the money, you can get the girls, you can get the haram, right? Huh? But the other one doesn't have. You're getting that. So he's going to cry every now and then, but he doesn't have the means to go astray. Yeah? Barakallahu feekum. I enjoyed your company, wallah. Jazakumullah khair. As'Allah yudimakum ala tawheed. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless you with tawheed. Especially when I looked out of the window, Brother Zubair showed me the window and I saw that green dome out there and I said, all right, mercy. May Allah keep you steadfast, Ya Rabbil Alameen. We need that voice next door, you know. Subhanallah, yani. Yeah, may Allah make it easy on you, Ya Rabbil Alameen. Absolutely, yes. طيب, تفضل.
Assalamualaikum warahmatullahi wabarakatuh. Alhamdulillah, brothers and sisters, alhamdulillah. This tour has been organized by the Jamiat Ahl Hadith as well as One Ummah Charity. Just quickly, brothers, anyone heard of One Ummah Charity here? Okay. Alhamdulillah, the charity started about 8 years ago by a group of brothers from the northeast of England. They were involved in dawah work, alhamdulillah. And then once the Syria situation escalated, they went on a convoy and alhamdulillah, they delivered aid there. And then when they came back, alhamdulillah, they formalized and today what they is known as One Ummah Charity. Alhamdulillah, now we work in 18 different countries. And like many other people, you naturally will be asking, you know, why, you know, there's so many Muslim charities, why are you different? What is different about you? Alhamdulillah, brothers and sisters, with us, alhamdulillah, we're a charity that is guided and run compliant by the deen and sharia. Alhamdulillah, we have ulama and scholars and shuyukh that guide us, alhamdulillah. And also, we run on a 100% donation policy where we don't deduct nothing from anyone's donation. And also, something that makes us unique as well is when we distribute zakat to the beneficiaries, alhamdulillah, we've stuck to the principle of giving it to them in cash only. So I'm sure many last year there was a lot of questions regarding how zakat is used. Alhamdulillah, the charity is always stuck to this principle. We always give it out in cash, alhamdulillah, unless the beneficiary themselves turn around and say to us that, okay, with the cash, can you build us a home? Then that's a different situation. Then we'll take that into consideration. But in general, alhamdulillah, the countries that I've visited with them, alhamdulillah, we've given out in cash to the beneficiaries. So alhamdulillah, it allows them to, because they know what their need is, alhamdulillah. So maybe that's something that will make us stand out from what others do. But inshallah, alhamdulillah, everyone does amazing work. So brothers and elders, this is, as you know, the situation for the ummah is difficult in many parts of the world. So we're just asking everyone to make dua for them, to inshallah remember the situation for many of the Muslims around the world, the difficulties that they're going through, inshallah. Alhamdulillah, we're so blessed. We have so much ease and so much wealth as well. So inshallah, please visit our website, oneumma.org.uk. Look at our work, inshallah. After Isha, I'll be at the back if you want to speak to me and ask further questions, inshallah. And we hope that, inshallah, we have a long relationship with the masjid here, inshallah. And we're able to come here, bring more shuyukh here as well, inshallah, for your benefit, inshallah. We pray that Allah keeps this masjid strong and rewards the brothers behind the effort that they've made to make it, inshallah. And also, may Allah reward Sheikh for his efforts, inshallah. He's got a long traveling and schedule ahead of him, inshallah. So once again, may Allah bless you all and accept us and accept our efforts. Jazakallah khair.